Oh my gosh. Thank you. like the frost on a rose. Winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience, like a seed in the snow. I've been buried to grow, for your promise is loyal, from sea to sequoia.
Restlessly hold, labor's waiting in silent hope for the promise it longs to know what heaven holds. Then the angels in holy haste lift their anthem, your Savior lays in a manger in humble form. Your King is born. Prince of heaven comes, angel choirs sound the call for this babe wrapped in a cloth. It's the incarnate Word of God. All the kingdom and its power resting now in this child. Prince of heaven, Jesus, hope of this means mercy in fullest form, loving kindness forevermore. Son of David and Son of God, He is Christ the Lord. The incarnate Word of God.
Well, good evening and Merry Christmas. We welcome you tonight to come and have a Christmas Eve service with us. We welcome you to stand with us as we worship. We're going to be singing some favorites. Please, please, please sing along.
Feel free once again to sing along with us as we do a little Christmas caroling.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and
go.
Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy.
All right, let's take it to the top. Everyone sing joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart
on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, I remain.
Our devotion,
devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. And Jesus, we love you. Of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, no weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Glory.
born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. Oh, night divine.
Merry Christmas.
Praise God. Well, Merry Christmas to you all. How wonderful to be in church together tonight worshiping God. Amen. And I hope you feel the love of God on this Christmas because, you know, as we were just singing, we're singing, O Night Divine. You know, it was a night that was planned. It was prophesied. The Bible says it was planned before the foundations of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God had you on his mind. And that's how this whole plan came to pass of Jesus being born in a little town of Nazareth. So I pray that you feel the love of God tonight because this is the gift of God to you and to me. Amen. Won't you just turn and greet someone and you may be seated. Thank you. Welcome, welcome. I want to welcome those that are watching from around the world, watching us tonight. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for joining in on our service. I know I have family that are in California and family that are in Australia, and everybody's on a different time zone, but pretty much Christmas is in a 48-hour period at some point. So Merry Christmas to you all. We're glad you joined us. We're glad you're watching. And to each and every one of you, thank you for worshiping with us tonight. I love to hear the Christmas story and just be reminded of the true meaning of Christmas, to be reminded of the gift of Jesus and what it would be like to be one of those shepherds on the fields watching that whole thing unfold. Amen. But welcome tonight. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors with us tonight. I've met a number of people tonight. And we'd like to just honor you, just like to give you a gift pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, don't embarrass you in any way. Just wave your hand and we'll pass a gift bag to you. If you see any hands, go ahead and do that. Thank you so much. We inside there, you'll find, come on, let's give them a hand. Not one person. Thank you so much. We're glad you're here. And if you get an opportunity, if you can hang around for a few minutes, please come and greet us afterwards. Just tell us how you came to be worshiping with us tonight. We're glad you're here. And there's a few things in that gift bag. One of them, one thing we ask you to do, there's a card that says guest. We ask you to just fill that out. And we pass an offering bucket by during the service. Just drop it in. And it gives Pastor Steve and I a chance to just greet you, call you, just let you know that we're glad that you were here. So thank you for doing that. By the way, I'm Jill Barry. You take that as for granted, right? But just to introduce myself. So thank you for joining us tonight. I believe it's going to be a wonderful service. You know, I found something out about church is that whatever it is that you need to hear, God has a way of ministering just to you. You know, the person next to you may hear something that they need, and you just get exactly what it is you need, and that's my prayer for you tonight. I just want to remind you, for those who don't know, of different ways that you can watch our service. We have people that are from out of town, and people watch from all over the world. We have Facebook Live. We have Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube. If you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, go ahead and just like it, like the page, share the page. You never know who's sitting at home tonight thinking about Christmas and you just share this and they hear the true story of Christmas. So go ahead and do that. Let us know where you're watching from. And we're glad you've joined us. You can watch on our mobile app, which has over 100 messages that you can listen to. So you can go ahead and download that to Send Church Jupiter. And you can also watch on our website. So thank you for doing that. And I want to just remind you of the four main purposes of our church, whether it's our children's ministry, our youth ministry, or service itself. The four main purposes, the first one is that you would know God and keep coming to know Him in a deeper fashion. Second of all, that you would find freedom. We've seen people find freedom. I saw one of our young men in the church posted something, and he was totally 7 years free of drugs and alcohol, and what an achievement. And you know, God can help you find freedom in every area of your life, right? Thirdly, that you discover your purpose. God says He's given each one of us a purpose, giving us gifts. And fourthly, that you would make a difference. Each one of us would make a difference with our lives. That's what we're working towards. Amen. And at this time of the service, just before we get into the message, we are going to have the opportunity to give into the work of God. And there are various ways that you can give. It'll come up on the screen. You know, they come up with all these different ways that makes it very simple and easy. It's like online shopping. Anybody did any Christmas online shopping? I did all my shopping online. So it's all being delivered. Hope it all shows up at the right place at the right time. But with convenience is a necessity in this day and age. So it's very convenient, different convenient ways for you to give. But I always like to just read a scripture when we receive the offering. And this is the time of year. We have our Heart for the House year-end Christmas offering. And I've rolled this envelope up. But in your seat front, there's a green envelope. That's the year-end offering. A red one is the regular offering. But it's a time that we always, as a church, stretch our faith and give above and beyond what we normally do in support of everything we're believing to do through our church this coming year. Amen? We got some big dreams. You got some big dreams? We got to have dreams for God's house as well, right? And every year, as we're ending one year and beginning a new year, we take this opportunity to honor God with a year-end offering. And we love it. Don't we? We don't have to do it. We get to do it. And I love the attitude of so many people in this church that have already participated. We appreciate that. It's a great privilege for us to give for the gospel to go forward. And I know many of you feel the same way, if not all of you. And I just want to make sure that you have the opportunity to participate before the year is out. Next Sunday is 2023. So we've got this week, and also just we have the added benefit in the USA of having it as a tax deduction. So I know last year my daughter-in-law's father was calling the family, and he's like, I just realized how much taxes I'm going to have to pay on my business. Who needs what? And he starts buying stuff all over the place because he's like, it's either I do that or I'm giving it to the tax man. So I was like, well, that's a great benefit, isn't it? And so I want to read one verse from Jesus' own words in Luke 6:38. Jesus said this. He said, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Isn't that interesting? You think when you give, it's like, I don't give to get. But he says, when you give, it will return to you, right? And not just the way you gave it out, but in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. I like the sound of that. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Jesus' words. Isn't that interesting? Give and it will be given back to you. So I leave you with that, and I thank you for participating in this year-end offering. We really appreciate it. I'm going to pray over those who are giving, and Pastor Steve is going to... I always get a little preview of the message, if not the entire thing, and it's going to be a good one, right? And so, Father, we thank you for each and every man and woman and child, every person represented in this building under the sound of my voice, to those that are watching online that just click and give online as people do every week. We thank you for them. Father, we thank you that your word is true. Lord Jesus, we take you at your word that as we honor you, as we give towards the work of God, that you cause blessing to be returned to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that we can see your goodness, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Are you going to preach with a candle?
Well, I thought we could make use of these candles. We got them for tonight's candlelight, but while I'm preaching, if I say something good, just wave your candle around. Just wave your candle. That'll be a new thing. Instead of waving your hanky, isn't there some churches that wave their hankies? We'll do the wave the candle. But praise God. I just want to say thank you to every one of you who've been so faithful to give and support Ascend Church during 2022. We truly appreciate your generosity, your obedience to the Lord. And I want you to know that Jill and I, we pray for you. We pray for the church. We pray for all the givers and tithers. And we pray that the windows of heaven would be open and that blessing would come upon you. And I'm really believing that 2023 is a year to be financially free. I'm just believing God for breakthroughs in 2023. I don't know about you, but I'm believing the world's telling us it's going to get bad, it's going to get worse. For us, it's going to get better. Amen? I'm believing. There you go. Wave that candle. It's going to get better. So let me, before I get into God's word, because I want to, my goal is to get you out of here by 7 o'clock tonight. And we are a church that believes in miracles, and miracles happen all the time. And so let me just mention to you that on Monday night this week, we filmed a Christmas special that is going to be airing tomorrow. It's different to tonight. It's a different sermon, different songs. And I want to thank everyone who came in to help. We were here on Monday for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. We had the media team, and we had the musicians, and we had the singers and helping us. And again, thank you to the music team who've done such a great job, you know, for us this whole year. Give them a big round of applause. We appreciate them. You know, I don't know if you realize just what it takes just to practice for one song, just to learn one song. I mean, I've been learning one song for like 6 months now, and I'm still working on this one song, April. He taught me one song, and it's not as that easy as you think. And they learn all these new songs, and we have Christmas time, all these carols, and we may have done them before, but when you haven't sung them in a year, it's like learning them for the first time. So thank you to our worship team. Thank you to our media team. Thank you to all our volunteers, our children's workers. Thank you. We appreciate you. And so we filmed this on Monday. We're going to air it tomorrow. I want to encourage you to watch it and to share it. I'm hoping that people that maybe didn't go to church will watch this because it's 30 minutes long. It's Jill and I and the worship team. And it's a little different to normal service. So check it out. It's going to be on our YouTube channel. It's going to be on our Facebook page. It's going to be on our website, Monique. Right, Monique? She's scheduling it. It's going to be on our app. It's going to be on all the platforms, right? But YouTube definitely, we know, is going at 10 a.m., am I right? So watch that tomorrow. And then also, let me mention, because I don't want to do this later on, and that is next Sunday is the first Sunday. It's January 1st. And some churches have canceled church. They canceled church because of New Year's Eve. They didn't think people would show up, because they were out New Year's Eve. But I said to them, it's not like that at Ascend Church. They're all going to be here on New Year's Day. Because what better way to start your year than in God's house, honoring Him, seeking Him, hearing from Him. Let me tell you, the best way to start your year is being in church next Sunday. Can you say amen? Wave those candles around. So now we are, I'm going to speak up next Sunday. I'm going to speak about first things. Being the first Sunday of the new year, I want to speak about first things, and that's going to be next Sunday. Also, want to mention that we are going to be having 21 days of fasting and prayer, starting from January the 9th to the 29th. 21 days of fasting and prayer. So start getting yourself ready. Eat as much as you wanted tonight and tomorrow. But the 9th of January, we're going to fast and pray. And we're going to believe God for some great breakthroughs and things to happen in 2023. And we're going to have, I'm going to talk to Abel, we're going to have more prayer at the church. We're not going to just do once a week. We're going to have more prayer for people to come and pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here tonight. You look good. I like to see people dressed up good. These two folks right over here, I don't know you. It's good to see you. Is it your first time tonight? Welcome. Did somebody invite you? You've been here before. I'm so glad you came back. What is your name? Maxine O'Neill. Right? And who's with you? It's nice to have you. Henry? Hendrick, welcome. Praise the Lord. Can we pray and get into God's word? Are you ready? Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. That's why we're here tonight. We're here to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus coming to the earth to redeem us, to save us. This is what Christmas means to us, Lord. And we worship you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you that you love us. We thank you for every good thing in our life. We know that it comes from you. And Father, tonight, I pray that you speak to every heart. I pray that your peace and your joy would fill each and every person here in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, during December, we've been in a series here at Ascend Church called The Rescue. And I just completed it last Sunday. And if you didn't watch all of you weren't here, I'd encourage you to go on our app, our mobile app, and watch those. There's been some of the most powerful sermons for me. We've been really speaking about how to share the gospel. And I can't think of anything more important. And so today, on Christmas Eve, I thought it's appropriate. I want to speak about the Christmas rescue, because that's really what Christmas is all about. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, in verse 14, the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. Jesus came, say Jesus came to the earth to rescue me. You know, you hear a lot of stories at Christmas time, and I love Christmas time. I think it's probably my favorite time of year. And you hear a lot of different stories at Christmas time, and we like to try and watch Christmas movies during the season, listen to Christmas music. And so we were looking for a Christmas movie to watch, and there's tons of Christmas movies and tons of Christmas stories, you know, Scrooge and Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Does anyone still know who Rudolph is? Is that like before your time? Frosty the Snowman, anyone still know who that is? Because this is like when I'm 58, so I don't know, maybe you don't know them. But there's a lot of different Christmas stories out there. But let me tell you the real, true Christmas rescue story, better than any movie, better than any book, better than anything you've ever seen. It's a phenomenal, and it's true. And the Christmas rescue starts way before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 in verse 5, it says, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. And I love it from the Message Bible, the Message translation. It says, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Say, he had me in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. And what pleasure he took in planning this, he wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. See, the Christmas rescue really begins in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, when God created Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that they lived in a paradise called the Garden of Eden. And they lived in, it was perfect. I mean, they were perfectly happy. There was nothing destructive there. There was no death, no sickness, no lack, no violence, no fear, none of those things. It was a paradise. And God gave them complete authority over everything that he had made, over all the works of his hands. And every day, God would come down and he would fellowship. He would walk and talk with Adam and with Eve. And because God made us to love him, and he made us to love us. He wants to love us. He wants us to love him. He made us for a relationship. That's what God made you, to have a relationship with you. In fact, David was so amazed by how important we are to God that David wrote in Psalm 8, he said, Lord, when I look at the night sky, and I do this, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at the sky and I look at the sky, the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars and everything you've made. What are mere mortals? What is man that you think about him so much? Why are we so important to you? Why do you care so much about human beings? Do you know how important you are to the Lord? He thinks about you all the time. The Bible says that the thoughts that God has toward you are more than all the sand of all the seashores that God thinks about you. It says, yet you, David said, you made him just a little lower than God and crowned him with glory and honor, and you gave him charge over everything you'd made, putting all things under the authority. I mean, David was just amazed when he thought about how much God cares about us. You are the most important of all creation. You are the most important to the Lord. In fact, God made everything in this world for you and me. He told Adam that everything was he'd given him. He had authority over all the works of his hands. And he told Adam, you can eat freely of every tree in the garden. But to show that Adam honored God and recognized God as the source of all his goodness, God told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan came in the form of a serpent to tempt Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve yielded. They listened to the devil. They disobeyed what God told them, because God told them in Genesis 2, verse 17, he said, God commanded Adam, you can eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. The moment you eat that tree, you're dead. The moment you eat that tree, you're dead. So guess which tree the enemy tried to get them to eat? That's what he tried to do. And when Adam and Eve ate of that tree, they didn't die physically. Adam lived on 900 years after that. So does that mean the Bible's not accurate? No, because when they disobeyed God and when they sinned, they died spiritually. See, the real you is a spirit. And you have a soul. You live in this body. This body is not really the real me. It's the house I live inside. I'm looking at you through these little windows. Are you with me so far? Spiritual death, they died spiritually. And that resulted in physical death 900 years later. You see, spiritual death, you say, what is spiritual death, Pastor Steve? Well, very simply, spiritual death is to be separated from God, because God is life. And if you are separated from God, you may be breathing, but you're dead. And this Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 2, it is your sins that separate you from your God. You have that scripture? Isaiah 59, 2. Your sins that separate you from God. Sin separates us from God. And when Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered the world. And that sin and spiritual death was passed down to all people. In Romans 5, verse 12, the scripture says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. Why? Because everybody sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. So now that when Adam and Eve sinned and they died spiritually, they were separated from God. God came and said, "Where are you? Where are you?" They were hiding behind a tree, covering their nakedness. Because why? There'd come a separation. Now that sin and spiritual death of separation has been passed down to all of us. It's like a virus that contaminated the world. So everybody is now spiritually dead. Everybody is separated from God. In Ephesians 2:1, the Bible says, in the past, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did against God, but he made you alive in Christ. See, Adam's sin brought a curse on the earth. In Romans 8:20, it says, all creation was subjected to God's curse. There's a curse that came on the earth. Before Adam sinned, there wasn't weeds and death and sickness. None of that existed. But when Adam sinned, sin came into the world. Adam lost the authority God had given to him. And Satan became the god of this world. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So some people look around at things, some things going on in the world, bad things, and they say, well, if God is a good God, why does he let it happen? Well, because God gave authority on this world, on this earth to Adam. Adam gave that over to the devil. Satan's now the god of this world. And so all the bad things that happen, you know who's behind it. It's not our God in heaven. It's the devil who's working in the earth today. And he got in here when Adam sinned and gave him that authority. Are you with me so far? So how's God going to rescue man? God had a plan before he even created us. The answer is Christmas, the Christmas rescue. In John 3, verse 16, I'm sure a scripture you've heard before, it says, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Say Jesus came to the earth to bring me eternal life. Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven, comes to the earth in order to rescue you and me. In John 1:14, the Apostle John, he said, Christ became a human being and lived here on earth among us and was full of loving forgiveness and truth. And some of us have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Heavenly Father. Christ became a human being. God's plan to save us is Jesus. God's plan is Christmas. And God revealed his plan right at the beginning, right in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, God spoke to the serpent. And he said to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and, say, her seed. I will put enmity between her seed and your seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And the Living Bible says he will crush your head. So now notice this, because how many of you know women don't have seed? Women don't carry seed. So how's her seed going to bruise and destroy the enemy? God is prophesying that he's going to send a Savior, and this Savior is not going to come from human seed. It's prophesying that God is going to come to the earth without the seed of a man through what we all know as the virgin birth. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe in the virgin birth. But you understand, Jesus is the only way God could come to the earth. He couldn't come with the help of a man. So the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed a young virgin named Mary, and she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. Why did God have to come to the earth himself? Because every human being is born with the sin nature and the spiritual death that has spread and passed down. So only God himself, who is without sin, could come to the earth and redeem us and save us from our sin by taking our place and being our substitute. See, God sent his son Jesus to the earth for the sole purpose of taking our sin and dying on a cross in our place. Now, you got to know that the devil, when God said her seed's going to bruise your head, the devil's looking out for that seed. He's looking out for the Savior. From the beginning, Satan has tried to destroy the chosen line of the Messiah. Because if the chosen line were destroyed, then God's plan could be stopped. And Satan has persisted in this from the beginning. Every time God would raise up a prophet or a king, Satan would think, this could be the one. This could be the Messiah. This could be the deliverer. Right? And he would try to destroy them. The devil would inspire someone to kill that prophet. Why do you think King Saul tried to kill David for 13 years? Because he was inspired by the devil trying to stop the chosen line of the Messiah. When Moses was born, why did Pharaoh order all the baby boys, the Hebrew baby boys, to be killed? Why? King Herod did the same thing when he heard that Jesus, he heard of the Messiah, he heard a Savior's been born. He had all the little boys, 2 years and under, killed. Why? It's the enemy, the devil, is inspiring them, trying to stop the Messiah from coming to the earth. Are you following with me? Satan's afraid of the Messiah. He's trying to stop God's plan. It went on for thousands of years. In fact, in Acts chapter 7, verse 52, it says, "Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who prophesied the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah whom you betrayed and murdered." Finally, after the book of Malachi, the final book of the Old Testament, there's 400 years of silence. 400 years, there's no prophet in the land. Then one day, after 400 years of silence, the angel Gabriel appears to a young woman named Mary in a town called Nazareth. And what does he say to her? In Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she considered what manner of greeting it was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." If you ever see an angel, the first thing your first reaction will be, you'll be afraid. You'll be scared. They are awesome creatures. And the angel says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you, and therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, when Jesus is born, there are angels that appear to shepherds and announce to them in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "That night some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel appeared among them. The landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened, but the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem.'" Amen. Amen. Jesus comes. This is Jesus coming to fulfill God's Christmas rescue, God's plan from the very beginning. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had, though he was God. He did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he made himself nothing. And he took the humble position of a slave, and he appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Jesus was God in human flesh. Now, this is what separates Christianity from every other religion. Because every other religion, the founder of their religion is dead and buried. But our Savior is alive. He is risen. And Jesus wasn't just a good man. He was God in human flesh. Why did he come to the earth? He came to the earth to redeem us, to save us. The Christmas rescue was God's plan to save us before he even created the world. In Revelation 13, verse 8, it says that Jesus is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, before the world was even created, Jesus agreed that I will go. God knew what was going to happen. He knew Adam was going to mess up, and he already had a plan to send Jesus. Think about that. John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, when his mother Elizabeth saw Mary, when they were both pregnant, John leapt in his mother's womb. Because John, in his mother's womb, recognized who Jesus was. And later, John would say in John 1:29, when he saw Jesus, and Jesus was, you know, now just about to enter in his ministry, and he said to him, what? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. Amen? Jesus, you see, Jesus agreed to come to the earth and to be our sacrificial lamb to save us, way back in Genesis and before. That's why in the Old Testament, when they sinned, God told them to sacrifice a lamb, and the lamb had to be without spot or blemish, because the lamb was a type and a shadow of Jesus, the true Lamb of God, who will come to the earth, who will be without sin, who will be our Savior, and who will sacrifice himself in our place. Are you following with me? In the Old Testament, they would lay their hands on that lamb, and their sins would be transferred into the innocent lamb. And the lamb's goodness and righteousness would be transferred into them. And so what it says in Leviticus 1 verse 4, it says in the Old Testament, it says the person bringing it is to lay his hand upon its head, and then that, it becomes his substitute. The death of the animal will be accepted by God instead of the death of the man who brings it as a penalty for his sin. So in the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't come yet. So God said, okay, you can take a physical lamb and use that as a substitute, because that represents the true lamb who will come to the earth, who will bear all of the sins and take up, be the sacrifice for every single person on the earth. Right? The Old Testament people had to do this every year. But Jesus was the final sacrifice to end all sacrifices. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it says, Christ has now entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and was not part of this created world. And with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered with his own blood into the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Verse 25 says, he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priest here on earth, who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove our sin by his own death as a sacrifice. God sent Jesus to the earth for the purpose of becoming the final sacrificial lamb who will take away our sins once and for all time. And when you put your trust in Jesus, God takes all your sins and puts them all on Jesus. Jesus paid the price for you and me. The punishment that was supposed to fall on us, because the wages of sin is death. Instead, that punishment fell on Jesus at the cross. He took our sin. He was punished. In exchange, he gave us his righteousness. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." We are now right with God. We have right standing with God because Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. Amen. It's Christmas, man. That's what Christmas is about. The Living Bible says, God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. In the Old Testament, the innocent lamb would take their place and they would receive blessings and favor that they didn't deserve. Because Jesus took our place. He took our sin, our judgment, our punishment. You too can expect favor and blessing that you don't deserve. Amen. It's not because you're good. It's because Jesus is good. And what he did for you is good. It's called unmerited favor, grace. Jesus went to hell in our place. We're supposed to go to hell, but Jesus went there in our place. Peter preached about it. In Acts chapter 2, he said, "You will not leave my soul in hell or let the body of your Holy Son decay. You will give me back my life and give me wonderful joy in your presence." Dear brothers, think, David wasn't referring to himself when he spoke these words that I've quoted. "For he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here amongst us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an unbreakable oath that one of David's own descendants would be the Messiah and sit on David's throne." David was looking far into the future and predicting the Messiah's resurrection and saying that the Messiah's soul would not be left in hell and his body would not decay. Why did Jesus go to hell? Because he went there so we don't have to go. That's why. He went in our place. Some people you can... I've had people that they just will not accept the fact Jesus went to hell. Listen, he went to hell in your place so you don't have to go. That's the consequence, the penalty of sin. Some people think Jesus died and he went straight to heaven. No, he said, "I'll be in the earth 3 days and three nights." Where? That's where hell is, because he's paying, he's our substitute. He's paying our price, and he paid the whole price in 3 days. Jesus, after 3 days, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and the devil. He rose triumphant. He said in Revelation 1:18, "I am he who lives. I was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death." In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, and he said to them, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go now and make disciples. You do the things that I have done. The same works I've done, you're going to do them too, because I'm giving you authority." See, Jesus triumphed over the enemy, over the devil for us. He won back the authority that Adam had given over to the enemy. The devil doesn't have authority over you and me. He might be the god of the world, but he ain't god of me. Jesus said, the prince of the power of the air comes, but he's got nothing in me. In Colossians 2, verse 13, it says, "When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us of all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us." He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, man, oh man, there's a lot in that verse. There's a lot in that verse. The term triumphing over that term referred to when a Roman general would conquer an enemy. He would triumph over him, which meant he would march that enemy in chains behind his army through the streets of Rome. They would parade this conquered enemy chained up. They'd often strip him naked, and they'd march him through the streets of Rome. All the sinners would come out and cheer. Well, let me tell you, that's what Jesus did to our enemy. He triumphed over the enemy. He went into hell because of our sin. He took our place. He took our punishment. But after 3 days, God said, it is enough. The price is paid. And Jesus was raised back to life. The Bible says the power of the Holy Spirit entered into him. In Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Say the same, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. He's living in me right now. So Jesus is made alive. He was dead because of our sin. He's separated from the Father. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he goes into hell. But after 3 days, he pays the price. The power of the Holy Spirit descends through the portals of hell. And Jesus is made alive. And he goes over to the devil, puts his foot on his head, just like God prophesied, and said, I told you that I would crush your head. I told you I've come to redeem my people. You are forever defeated. And Jesus stripped him of all his authority, and he led the devil and all his demons in a triumphant procession through the corridors of hell, while all the saints were watching and cheering as Jesus triumphs over the enemy. That's what Christmas is about. In fact, in Colossians 2:15, if I read it from the Passion Bible, it says, Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping them of every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He wasn't their prisoner. They were his prisoner. When Jesus arose from the dead, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go in my name. You will cast out demons. You will heal the sick. You will do the works that I've done. You resist the devil. He'll flee from you because I'm giving you back that authority over the enemy. What a Christmas rescue. That's the story of Christmas. And I never get tired of telling it. And I never get tired of hearing it. If you can go and watch the same Christmas movie, you know, like I like Home Alone. That's one of my favorite Christmas movies, especially Home Alone in New York. I like it. It kind of makes me feel like Christmas. And I don't know how many times I've seen it, but I'll probably watch it again next year. I never get tired of telling the story of Jesus. I never get tired of telling the Christmas, the true Christmas story, the greatest story ever told. And it's all true. It's not about a baby in a manger. It's about the Son of God coming to the earth to rescue us, to deliver us, to remove our sins, to bring us back into right standing with God, to give us back the authority God created us to live with so we can live an abundant, victorious life. Can someone say amen? And I think I'm wrap it up with this. Romans 5, verse 17. Death once held us in its grip. And by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. In other words, just as condemnation came upon all people through one man's transgression, so through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us to a victorious life. I said, let me say it again, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to all. Can I tell you, a victorious life is available to you because of what Jesus did. It says in verse 19, one man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. So also, one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. Can you say amen? Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to be right with God. He said himself, I am the way, the truth, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How do you receive this salvation? Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's just that simple. You just believe that Jesus came to the earth. He was the Son of God. That he rose from the dead. And confess him as Lord of your life, and you will be saved. That's how you receive salvation. What happens when you do this? The Bible says you are born again. The Bible says you become a new person. God recreates your heart. You are cleansed of all sin. And you are made righteous in God's sight. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And Jesus said in John 3 verse 3, unless you're born again, you can never get into the kingdom of God. So don't be surprised at my statement, you must be born again. Jesus says you've got to be born again. Now when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you believe that he died for you and you believe that he rose from the dead, and you confess him as Lord of your life, when you do that, you are born again. You are made a new person. You are cleansed of all sin. You are made righteous. You are made a child of God. Amen. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, all honor to God. And God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is his boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again. So we are now members of God's own family. Now we live in the hope of eternal life because Christ rose from the dead. That sums it all up right there. At Christmas, we celebrate the gift of Jesus who came to the earth to rescue us, to save us, to bring us back into right standing with God, that we can know God, that we can walk with God, that we can hear from God, that we can fellowship with God, that we can live an abundant life, that we can live in joy, that we can live in peace. This is all what Christmas is about, family. It's about celebrating God coming to man. At Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' birth. Not only his birth, but who he is and what he did. What should our response be to all that Jesus has done for us? We should receive him into our life to be our Lord and Savior, and be born again, be made right with God, and then we should live our life to please him and fulfill the plan and purpose that he has for our life. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says he died for all, so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, may no longer live for themselves, to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ who died and rose for them. You see, we are to live our life now to please God. And then you know one way you please the Lord? By sharing this message, by sharing his gospel, by speaking for him. Amen. Sharing the Christmas story with people, urging people to receive Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he said in Romans 1, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Jesus Christ. I'm thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved. And the Message translation says, it's news I'm most proud to proclaim, this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in him. Say, I'm proud to proclaim this good news of the gospel. Let's proclaim the true message of Christmas, the greatest story ever told. Jesus came to the earth to save you. Let's proclaim that. Let's share that. In the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, stand up with me, everybody. Let's have the worship team up here as we close tonight. Thank you, Dave. Just bow your head for a moment if you would. How many of you are thankful for Jesus tonight? How many of you are thankful it's Christmas tonight? Amen. Why do you have your head bowed? Just close your eyes. If you've never received Jesus into your life, thank you, Dave. If you've never received Jesus in your life, if you've never confessed Him to be Lord of your life, if you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with God. If you were to die tonight, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or you have to be honest, say, Pastor Steve, I hope so. I hope I go to heaven. I do believe in God. And I'm a member of such a church. Well, I'm not asking if you belong to a church. And I'm not even asking if you believe in God, because the Bible says that even the demons believe in God and they tremble. And they're not saved. What you have to do is what we've said tonight. You have to confess and make Jesus, surrender your life, receive Jesus in your heart, and make Him Lord of your life. If you've never done that tonight, I want to encourage you to do so. It's the greatest decision you ever made in your life. When I was 16 years old, my mother dragged me to a church like this. I really did not want to go. And I heard the gospel. God touched my heart, because the Bible says Jesus is standing and knocking on the door of your heart. Anyone who opens, I will come in. God, Jesus is knocking on your heart, but you got to open the door and welcome Him in. And tonight, I want to pray. I want to pray for anyone who says, Pastor Steve, pray for me, because I want to make sure that everything is right between me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. Listen, I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. While we have our heads bowed and we have our eyes closed, I just want to pray if there's anyone here tonight that says, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with the Lord, and I'm not sure what would happen to me if I died tonight, and I want to be sure, then I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, just quickly lift your hand up high. If you say, pray for me, Pastor Steve, lift your hand up high, because I'm looking for hands. Thank you. And if your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer tonight. Just lift it up high right now. Here's my hand. Pray for me too. I want everyone who lifted your hand, please say this prayer with me. In fact, can we all say this prayer together? Say this. Say, everyone, say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth and die in my place. Take my sin. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He's been raised from the dead, and I confess, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I receive you, Lord. From today, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to live for you. Thank you, Jesus, that I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. Say, I'm your very own child. Say, heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen, everybody. Listen, as we go, what song are we going to close out with you? You're going to close out with Joy to the World. All right, turn to someone, say Merry Christmas. We'll see you next Sunday, New Year's service. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let all their hearts employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and lakes, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding
joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.